Hey guys, what is up? Welcome back to Gals on the Go podcast. It's Brooke here solo. It has been forever since I've sat down and done a full solo episode. Hi guys, I'm Brooke, half of this podcast. Danielle's not here today because I'm taking the mic and talking about some life lessons. I'm going to share with you guys some life lessons that I've learned, not just this year, but in all my years. I'm like aging myself here, but before I turn 24, I'm recording this episode before I officially turn 24. But by the time you're listening, I am 24. My birthday was this past week, April 15th. I celebrated by spending time with my parents, which that's just when you know, like as you're getting older, when you're like, I want to spend my birthday with my parents, something I probably never would have said when I was like 17, 18. But then as I got older, I have just learned to appreciate it so much more, especially after this past year, which we'll get into in the lessons, of course. But I couldn't imagine any other way to spend it. I mean, hopefully, like after everything is all said and done and vaccinations and whatever, like after I'm double vaccinated and stuff like that, I'm going to definitely see some more friends. So I'm so excited about all of that and just everything that's like on the horizon kind of coming up. But anyways, I'm just so excited for this today. I personally like listening to podcasts that kind of share overwhelming tips, life lessons, even if you could apply like one or two of these to your life. Some of them are super, super random. But yeah, this is it. Also, just want to give you guys a little bit of a catch up after I go home and spend some time with my parents. When you guys are listening to this, I think we'll be like headed out if you're listening on Wednesday. My mom and I are doing a little gals trip, a spa trip. I don't even want to call it a trip. It's more like staycation. We're just going to Connecticut, which is just like we drive right up 2 hours to Connecticut. We're staying in like this spa type resort situation, I guess. And that's like my birthday gift. That's what I asked for. My mom was like, what would you like for your birthday? I was like, honestly, an experience with you. Like I would love a little weekend. We're not doing it on a weekend. We're doing it like Monday to Wednesday because we're like random like that. But we're like, this actually works better for both of our schedules. My mom has to work on Sunday. So we found dates that worked for both of us. We're doing two nights. We're going to do the spa one day. The other day we're going to like, you know, go out to dinner and go to, there's like an indoor pool and we had to like reserve time online. But I am just so freaking excited. That's also another thing as I get older. And I realize I'm so lucky because I'm in such an amazing financial position where I'm able to buy myself things that I want instead of having to ask for gifts, which I realize is such a privilege and a blessing, of course. But then I was like, all that I really want is like to spend time with people I love and to do it in a relaxing way. You guys, my mom and I have never done a trip solely just to relax. Like everything growing up, I used to like quote travel with my mom a lot because she would go to Florida for work, but she was always working and like she would have to stay up late hours or like wake up in the middle of the night and go work. And like, she's just such a hustler in that regard. So honestly, she deserves this trip more than, I don't even want to call it a trip. She deserves this few days off more than I do, but I'm just so looking forward to spending like true authentic time with her. And number two, I haven't done any sort of like hotel or even Airbnb or anything like that since last February, which I know it's, we're all in this together, but I am just so excited, you guys. I'm so beyond blessed and just excited. So 2 days of, and it's never like days off. Like I don't have to say, like, I'm going to vlog the whole thing. So check out at all of that coming to YouTube and things like that soon, but just feeling really thankful. And I don't know. I mean, as I get older, I would say birthdays get less and less exciting. Of course, when you turn like 18 and 21, those are big ones. And then even 22 was exciting. But maybe it's just because the last like these two birthdays were in like pandemic-y times. Because I'm hoping that like when the world is fully open again, like things will be hype again and I'll love celebrating. I love my birthday, but it's not even about like the party element. It's more so just like the element of it like being a day that's all, I hate to be like all about me, but it's like the one day a year where you're allowed to be like, hey, it's my birthday. Like, it's all eyes on me. Like, you know, people come out of the woodwork and reach out. You get, and then you get to spend time and talk and catch up with old friends. Something about it. It's definitely a selfish day. We also grew up in a house. We like prioritize birthdays. You know, some people's families are more like, they'll be like more of like a Christmas family or more of another holiday. Like we were a birthday family, no matter whose birthday, like we always did it big. And it was just like, my parents set the bar high. I will say, you guys, I had a sweet 16, if you didn't know. So I'm no stranger to large birthday functions. The Sweet 16 really set the bar high. So that's everything. I can't believe I'm turning 24. Holy crap. I feel in my mind mentally, I'm still like 21, maybe like 22. I feel like I'm permanently 22. That's a good age. But honestly, and I used to get like freaked out about getting older. I still do. I go through phases. I'll be like really freaked out about it one day and then like really okay the next. And honestly, right now I'm content. I will say that. That's like my mood of the week. Is like contentment and looking forward to what this next chapter will bring. I'm actually mostly excited to close the book on 23. This was like a conversation that I started on like Twitter and Instagram this week. Like, why is 23 such a not great age? I don't know. I feel like it's because you're in that in between of phases of your life. You're like trying to navigate adulthood, but you're not a full-fledged adult. Like, people still don't take you entirely seriously, but you don't want to be taken entirely seriously because you want to be like fun and like use that as an excuse and like live your life. But so I'm really looking forward to 20. We're closing the book on 23, opening the book on 24. I have better feelings, I think, for this year than I did for last. I can't even believe that it's been a full year since 23. I remember my friends from home did like a drive-by my house situation last year because we were all on lockdown. So like they all drove in like their individual cars and like drove by my house and like were honking and they had like signs and stuff. It was so cute. It was literally the best birthday ever. Like, I was just sitting in my living room and then all of a sudden I heard like honking. I was like, what's happening outside? Oh, my friends have a parade down the block. I felt so loved and so like special. Just such good times. I mean, it wasn't good times. Like, last year around this time wasn't good times, but last year my birthday was such a good time. Just feeling so loved and supported. And I do feel that way this year in a different way. Definitely a lot of growth over this past year, which is more stuff we'll get into. Wow, that was so somber. I don't want this to be like a somber episode. I want this to be like fun and uplifting and like, you know, we'll laugh. I laughed. I cried. I took a shot. Okay. But first, before we get into everything, let's get into the business of the week.
Business of the week.
Okay, Mount Lai is a proudly Asian female-owned beauty brand rooted in traditional Chinese medicine. They say, we take a modern approach to ancient rituals for radiant, glowing skin. We believe in wisdom through the ages. Our products are based around practices used in traditional Chinese medicine, passed down through generations. Gua sha and facial rolling have been healing, and they've been used for centuries, shared from one family member to another, like our founder and her grandmother. So it's like a family business. Or I should say, like, they've been doing it for generations, which is amazing. You guys might know I've been pretty into facial rolling and like gua sha recently. So I actually ordered the rose quartz tension melting massager for your face and neck. This is like a contraption. I'm so excited for it. It's different than any of the other facial tools that I've seen, and their products are great. They use like real stones, so you can also go on and like take a quiz and choose what stone is best for you. I got the rose quartz, but I know that they also have, hold on, let me pull up the actual names of them. So they have all different types of stones, like jade, rose quartz, amethyst, black obsidian, and you could go online and like take a quiz to learn more about it. I just am, their selection is in, like, I didn't even know that half of these type of like tools for your face existed. So you guys definitely have to go check them out, especially if you're considering, you know, getting a gua sha, like everybody on TikTok appears to be doing. So Mount Lai, which we will have linked in the show notes. Now let's get on to our current favorite.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Myself, all of my favorite things.
Or my current favorite, I guess I should say. Mine is The Last Mrs. Parrish. It's a book by Liv Constantine. It says Liv Constantine, but it's actually an author duo. As I read on the back of the book, it's two sisters, but they go by this like alias of Liv Constantine, which I thought was really interesting. So I read this in one night. I normally don't do that. Like, I sat down in bed at like in the 9 o'clock hour, and usually I read for like, I don't know, 30 minutes to an hour, you know. It's not even like I decide like how much of the book I want to get through. I just kind of read until like my eyes get really tired. I'm like, all right, I should go to bed. But I couldn't stop. Like, I read this, it just started getting really, really good. And it was good from the beginning, but then it really started getting good. So in a block of like 3 to 4 hours, finish it, couldn't stop. It really is one of those books, like, everything's not what it appears. It's like told from a few different perspectives, and it's basically like this woman and her husband, and then there's like an outsider who then you find out is trying to like get in because she thinks that their life is like so perfect and amazing, but it everything isn't as it may seem. I don't want to give it all away, but kind of like it's a thriller in the sense of like there's definitely some stuff that you're like, gosh, this is messed up. It's not as heavy on the like death and murder sort of stuff, which I actually liked because a lot of the books I've been reading recently are like murder heavy, and that's not normally my content, but this was good. It was like a rich lifestyle, but like underneath things are messed up. So yeah, that's what I read this week, or I guess I should say like in one night, but it was just so good. I've been so into reading lately, and it's been really nice and a great way to unwind before bed. I set my bedside light. It's like a color changing bulb, and I make it red or like a warm tone, and I read for, like I said, as long as I can, and it gets me off my screen. I like text whoever I need to text, put my phone away, and then I'm not on it for the rest of the night, or I try not to. Sometimes like I'll check it like really briefly, like right before I go to bed, but I'm not like on my phone like I used to be, like scrolling TikTok or whatever, because I read. So it's a productive habit. That's like a 24-year-old habit. Like how 24 of me, my age is showing. So if you're having trouble meeting your goals, or difficulty with relationships, or trouble sleeping, or you're just overall feeling like stressed or depressed, BetterHelp is available. BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and help. So you simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your needs, and BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist that you can start communicating with in under 48 hours. So it's not a crisis line, and it's not self-help. So it's actually secure online professional counseling. BetterHelp counselors have a broad range of expertise, which just might not be available in your area. And the service is available for clients worldwide. So you log into your account, and you log in anytime, and you can send unlimited messages to your counselor, which is amazing. You also get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and everything you share is confidential. So you don't have to wait in an awkward waiting room again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So it's easy and free to change counselors if you need to. And it's also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. In fact, you guys, so many people have been using BetterHelp. They're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Gals on the Go listeners are going to get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/gals. Visit betterhelp.com/gals to join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. So I think that's going to be it for the stuff that we're going to take care of. We'll do question of the week when we're back with Danielle next week. Because I feel like it generates a convo, and I don't want to do it without her. That was like an original Danielle Carolyn idea. She's been really killing it with the inspiration lately. We always will like text each other if we come up with random stuff. Like I thought of something randomly this morning at 7 a.m. and then like when she wakes up, she texts me, like, and then she'll send me random ideas. Like no matter what we're doing, we could be like out and about like with friends or living our lives, and we always come up with like random stuff. We'll be like, by the way, like you don't have to reply to this, like it's business related. Cause like I hate waking up to like jarring texts in the morning like that too. Like it would be like, hey, like here's everything you have to do, and I'm like, oh gosh, okay, I just woke up, give me a second. But I feel like business ideas are a little more light than that, but I personally don't love waking up to like a agenda, you know. Okay, anyways, so I'm turning 24, or I am 24 when you're listening to this. Funny story, I was talking to my therapist this week. We've been doing it like virtually. I started therapy in like September or something, maybe a little bit before that. I told my therapist it was my birthday. I was like, oh, it's my birthday this week coming up, like I'm turning 24. And she's like, oh my gosh, like we talked all about, you know, my birthday and stuff like that. And she was like, ah, only one more year until your brain is fully developed. And I was like, ha ha ha. And then I was like, wait, actually, I thought that was just for guys, like where they say like, what is it, your frontal lobe or your frontal cortex? I think it's your frontal lobe is not fully developed till you're 25. And she's like, no, that's universal. That's across both. And she's like, I'd actually argue like it's not fully developed till you're 25. Give it another like year to kick in, say 26. And I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? So I am going to use that as my last, like, this is my last year, like, that I could use that as an excuse. Like, if I do something stupid, I could be like, oh, like, my brain isn't fully, like, finished growing. Like, not actually, but I thought that was a really interesting fun fact. that 25, when you really think about it, you go through a lot, I guess, in your years of course, like up until you're 18, like you go through a lot. But then I feel like you go through even more, like 18 to 25 are like really pivotal years. I would argue all of your 20s are, but like early 20s, when you're like figuring out your life and like your life purpose per se, it's like, it's definitely a time, I will say. So yeah, let's hop into it. I made this list. And basically, I started this list like several months ago. And I was like, oh, this is like a good episode concept. Like I'm going to, or video concept. I didn't really know what I was going to work it into yet. And I just was like, I'm going to add things sort of as I think of them. And then I sat through and finished it up earlier this week. And like I said, this isn't just things that I necessarily learned this past year, but I feel like in all of my years combined, like they've added up to this. And plus things that I've learned this year. Not that I know it all. I truly actually don't know it all. Like that's another thing. It's not on my list of 24, but I'm learning to learn from other people more. I used to have like the worst complex of like, I'm right and you're wrong. And like, I know everything and whatever. And I'm getting much better about that. We love a self-growth moment or a self like recognition moment of being like self-aware moment of being like, hey, I don't know everything. So if any of these apply to you, or if you're like around my age and you could relate, you probably can, because I feel like a lot of these are like similar themes of like what friends or people my age have gone through. Okay. So number one, I learned what loving myself looks like. And I know this sounds so cliche and so, and you're like, okay, we all love ourselves, whatever. No. Especially this is more so in the recent like few months, but I'm going to put it in like the age, like I learned it in my 23rd year. So like 24 things before 24. So I learned them like in my years before. So, but in the second half of my 23rd year, I really learned what loving myself looks like. And it's not just treating myself and whatever. It's really taking care of myself inside and out and really loving everything about me, from like loving being a woman, like loving my body, not at all times, but being able to appreciate my body, and then loving the person I'm working every day on and working on the person who I'm becoming. So I think this is a type of thing that you have to come to on your own. It's something that no one's going to one day just like say something and it all clicks and it all just like makes sense, whatever. And these were kind of realizations that came out of therapy, I guess. But for me, it was just the realization of my self-talk. It was so negative, and it was really just, I was my own worst critic, and I was putting myself down, and I needed to really shake that. So I really did learn, because I've had really high, I guess, kind of like self-esteem days and really high days in terms of like, being proud of myself and my accomplishments and proud of the person that I am and the way that I handled a situation. And I haven't really had that prior to this point in my life, I guess, at least to this scale. So I guess I did. I learned what loving myself looks like, which is an important journey for anyone, especially women, to learn, especially in a society where we are put down and we are, you know, taught that we have to be a certain thing and we have to fit a certain mold. And it's just such BS. It's so not true. So you have to come to that journey on your own. And I hope that you guys are able to do it if you're younger, before 23, because the earlier you can reach that, it unlocks things for you. I will say, like, your confidence goes up, just the way that you're able to navigate the world. Number two, the value of therapy and healing. Yeah, working on yourself so that you could show up for the people in your life as a better person. And the concept of it could be selfish if you're like, yeah, like I want to go to therapy, I want to talk to someone. I mean, it really isn't selfish, because no matter for what reason you're going, I personally believe you don't need a reason. A lot of people have this connotation like you have to be in therapy for one specific reason to like work through something specifically. That is absolutely not the case. Although I will say, most times you uncover something that you're like, whoa, I didn't realize I had to work through this, because everyone has their battles. But I feel like therapy is so great because you're working on yourself so that you could show up for the people that you love as a better person and show up in the world as a better person and as a healed person. I think that therapy is becoming way more of a normalized and accepted thing, but I have met people in the past year that are like, oh no, like I don't really like do therapy. Like I have to deal with my own problems. that to me is such a red flag in anybody. It is so beyond important. And if you believe, like, if you have enough like recognition to look at your life and be like, hey, like, I have some stuff I need to work through, I think it's time to consider therapy. And it's definitely a privilege to have access to it financially, but I would recommend looking into ways, like, I know BetterHelp, they have programs where you're able to get it at a reduced cost. Specific communities and cities do as well. It's definitely worth looking into and just prioritizing your mental health, especially after this year that we all had. We were all impacted by it under some regard. The value of therapy, it's healing. It really does. Like, I feel like my cup is full at this point, and I'm able to take care of other people, and I'm able to really show up for the people in my life now in a better way. Next, self-love isn't selfish. I don't know, like, who came up with the concept that liking yourself and putting yourself first is wrong, because that is absolutely not true. Because if we all did this and we all put ourselves first and we all set boundaries and we all said, we all, you know, took care of ourselves and what we have to do first, we would all show up better for the people in our lives. And you were put in this body on this planet. You have to love yourself. You have to look, you have to really just enjoy the person that you are. So I feel like practicing self-love is the first step. It's not selfish. I don't know why the heck it is. Danielle and I think we have a whole episode called Self-Love Isn't Selfish, but it seriously, RT. Okay, number four, your body is your forever home, so you have to learn to love it, live with it, or change it. I talked about this in my body confidence episode I did last summer, and I know this struck a chord with a lot of you guys. I got a lot of messages about this of people being like, wow, I really felt that. But it's true. You wake up and you fall asleep and you live. Really, the only constant in this whole lifetime is going to be you and like what you see every day, because you're seeing out of the same, like, we all are, you only know your own like bodily experience, I guess, which is so crazy when you really think about it. I mean, hopefully the people in your life are there forever, and hopefully there are other constants in your life, but truly the real constant is yourself, and it's your forever home. You might move around a lot. I move around a lot, but my body is my forever home. So you do have to learn to love it, or tolerate it, or change it. I have learned, you know, the value of changing certain things. This is like something that I've learned like through the years, in terms of there's certain crazy insecurities that I had that I was able to fix with the help of plastic surgery. And then there's other things that I've learned to just cope with, in terms of like, you know, oh, I have kind of bigger boobs and like, I don't love the way they look in like little crop tops. Okay, I'm going to learn to live with that or change it. I have lost some weight in the past year because I didn't feel healthy anymore. So I took it into my own hands and I changed it. So I feel like there are pathways for you. And I'm very pro plastic surgery, but I'm also pro, you know, body positivity. I'm also pro loving yourself, but I feel like you have to do what's best for you. I think it takes a lot of self-recognition, but it really is a good feeling to be happy with the way that you look, or to be able to look in the mirror and be like, wow, I look pretty. And If you want to make those changes and do it, like I say, you know, go for it and do it. Not that I'm like encouraging that sounds like I'm like, just go out and change the way you look. Like, no, I'm saying that there's options. Like, it's so easy. I feel like we see that narrative a lot on social media. That's just like, love yourself, love yourself. Well, it's not that easy. You know, if you have like crippling insecurities, stuff that you've kind of like lived with forever that you want to change, do it. Like, live your best life. But it's also never too late to make a change. Here's an inspired idea. What if we fed our hair with the same nourishing ingredients that we feed our bodies? I've been using clean, simple, kitchen-crafted recipes from Hair Food, and I've seen amazing results. Whatever hair texture or hair type you have, your hungry do will feel well-fed from the superfood ingredients packed into every bottle of Hair Food. You've probably already heard us on the show rave about the nourishing coconut and chai spice collection, but let me say, I know Danielle and I have both been branching out and trying some of their new recipes. the yummy turmeric and almond oil. It's like a detangling milk. It takes care of my most stubborn knots, and I have way less frizz. They're all different, but they all smell so good. Every hair food product is free of sulfates, parabens, dyes, and mineral oils because your hair does not want to be eating that. So if you're looking to really nourish your hair, really, really nourish it, it's got to be hair food. Look for it at Amazon, Walmart, and Target. Number five is simple. Trust your gut. It's always on point, in my cases at least. If a situation doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. It's just like, you know, when you're talking to someone, you like feel them like kind of like low key, like pulling away. Probably only a few of you guys can relate to this. It's a crappy feeling. It's like when you're dating someone and you think things are going well, and then all of a sudden there's like hot and cold change and you feel like a vibe shift. Your gut's right. Trust your gut. Not even just in terms of that. I've been in situations where I'm like, I could go to this thing, but I probably shouldn't go. And I didn't go and I avoided a big old mess. Just a situation that I didn't want to be in or people I shouldn't have been around. So I feel like you have to learn to trust it, because like if you're getting a bad feeling about something, it probably isn't a good situation. And I sound like such a parent saying that, but it really is true. Okay, number six is forgiveness is healing. My life isn't perfect, you guys. Like, there's definitely been circumstances in the past that are either I'm the wrongdoer, they're the wrongdoer, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to like sit here and point fingers. It doesn't matter. Even if it's not articulated, like it doesn't need to be like you reaching out to them and saying like, by the way, I forgive you, but just letting go kind of. If you like, I look back on a lot of past situations of my life from when I was in high school and onward, and sometimes I want closure, or sometimes I want, yeah, like I want to just like reach out and be like, by the way, like everything's cool, like no harm, whatever. But like, it's, you don't have to articulate it, just letting go and just, you know, believing that. It's almost like when a situation ends, like when you're ghosted and you have no clear answer for the ending and you're like, oh my gosh, like they just ghosted me. Like, what the heck? I don't know why. You almost have to like create a narrative in your head that they did kind of give you closure to move on. And I feel like practicing that forgiveness within yourself is healing. It's just not like, and not that I don't hold grudges. There's definitely like, yeah, people that I'm not a perfect person. There's definitely people that I hold grudges against, but the practice of like just letting it go and being like, I literally don't care. Like, it's what's in the past is in the past is so much healthier. About some stuff you're allowed to hold your grudges. Okay. But if it's like really, if it's just something that was petty, like I think back to like high school situations and whatever, that I could be like, oh, I don't like those people anymore. Or I could choose to like really just let go and just be like, F it. Like, literally, who cares? I don't care anymore. I don't think about it anymore. What's in the past is in the past. Number seven, it's never too late to do the right thing. Yeah, when I reflect on, I think this year has done like a lot of, it's caused a lot of us to reflect. And when I reflect on times that I fucked up, if I could say that, I try my best to make it right, you know? Or if I can do something that, and it, sometimes situations, like I said, they're too late to kind of go in and like revise. Yeah, there was, I've had friendships in the past year that I've realized like prior to this point, like I really like let them go, or I didn't maintain them well enough. And I go back in and I'm like, I'm going to do the right thing. And it doesn't even need to be to them like, oh, now I'm going to like bake you a cake and like beg for your forgiveness. But no, it's like, okay, I'm going to be a better friend now. I'm going to do the right thing and really be a better person, I guess. I feel like these are all things of like growth. Okay. Number eight, family is everything. I'm so beyond lucky to have literally parents who are truly in love, a brother who is awesome. It's a small little group, the four of us. But COVID really reminded me of this, like the COVID experience, because I moved home from, I was living in Boston. I moved home for many, many months. And everywhere I lived prior to that point of my life, like I lived in Boston and then I lived in Georgia. So I really, when I moved from home, I was kind of, when I moved from home when I was 18, I was like, peace out. I didn't really appreciate everything that I could have or should have appreciated. I think it's like easy to get to that point, especially when you're like a senior in high school. You're like, I just want to leave, whatever. And I was still close with my parents, my brother, all through college and whatever. But I think the physical closeness, and of course we rubbed each other the wrong way when we were all living in the house together. Don't get me wrong, like that it wasn't like all rainbows and butterflies, but just being physically close to them has been such a game changer, I think, for our relationship. My parents are amazing. My brother's growing to be such a kind, compassionate person. I'm so proud of everybody in my family, and I'm just so fortunate that they're happy and healthy and they love me and I love them, and I'll never take it for granted again. So that's why I go home so much. Family really is everything to me. It always has been, but I think that COVID really showed that too, just in terms of how I don't want to get like super dark, but like, of course, in the beginning of it all, it was kind of like scary. It was like, oh my gosh, it really taught you like what was important. Like it felt like everybody was like either moving home or moving in with like really close friends or whatever. Like it kind of taught you what was important in life. And it definitely did for me. I mean, here I am. I live in New York City. If you guys don't know, I have my car here in New York now. So I'm able to drive and go home really quickly and spend more time with them. And it's been really amazing. People are like, why do you go home all the time? Because I, am so close with my parents, and we have such a, like a great relationship, and it really, something about it, I don't want to be like, oh, it's my security blanket, but like in a way it kind of is, because I haven't had that since I was 18, and it's really nice. So love them. Number 9, when someone is on your mind, reach out. This year made me stay in touch with people who I didn't always see. But specifically, I put this on here for people like my grandma, my Uncle Rob, who's also my godfather, my friends from college. Like if there's like just a passing thought in my mind about them, I reach out. Like I'll just send a quick text. I'll be like, hey, like hope you're doing well. Like I just thought of you. Or if I'm like reading an article that I think of them or watching a video, like I send it to them. It makes people's day, like, and it just sparks a conversation. And even if it doesn't need to be like, I have some friends that if I sent them something, they'd be like, great, thanks, you know, whatever. But then months later, they'd be like, that was so nice of you to like reach out and say that. And everyone's communication styles are different, but it really making a conscious effort to reach out, just send a little love, it could help beyond way more than you know. You never know what other people are going through. So just kind of like, and it's like checking in without being like invasive and being like just checking in, but it's like a good way to like get a convo going. And for people who are in your life that you want them to be in your life, that's what you got to do. Number 10 is just the importance of gratitude. Whenever I'm feeling like really, really high in terms of like, not high, like smoking weed high. No. No, not drugs high. Whenever I'm like in a really, really positive, like just amazing, abundant mood, or when I'm feeling really low, I'm trying to do it more when I'm like in that middle wave, but I always remember gratitude. You have to be aware and thankful for what you have, no matter how big or small it may feel to you. Is this the people in your life? It could be a positive interaction, like someone on the street like said that they like your jacket or that you have pretty eyes. Good news. Literally just like the fact that you woke up this morning. Like some days when I'm feeling really low, like that is my gratitude. Like I woke up this morning, I'm healthy. The people in my life are healthy. Like some days it's a lot smaller of a list, but I feel like having the basis of it be gratitude is so important. And it's easy, like I said, when you're feeling really, really like charged up and everything's going well, it's sometimes like it slips by you to be like, gosh, I'm so grateful, and like feel the feelings in that moment and really soak it in and remember it and feel grateful for that moment. So that's why I try to feel it when I'm at all sides of like spectrums, I guess, when I'm like really high and really low. Hi, not like weed high. Oh my gosh. Okay. Number 11, money gives you options and reduces your stress. Money is a tool. I think it's really easy, and I know how privileged I am to say this. Like this does sound incredibly privileged. But stress around money it's a crappy feeling. It's a stressful feeling. I can't even lie and be like, oh, I've been there. But like, yeah, when I was in high school or college and I, you know, wanted to buy something, but I didn't have the funds for it. Like, I think a lot of people can relate to that. Just because I had student loans and I had people to help be able to help me with tuition and things like that. So it wasn't necessarily like, I'm going to get kicked out of my apartment type of stress. But especially when we live in a world where everyone's like keeping up with the Joneses type of mentality, like everyone I remember in college was shopping for like formal dresses on Revolve. And I was like, gosh, this is adding up, you know? And I think the way that I see money now is really as a tool, and it does give you options when I'm faced in specific situations and I'm like, gosh, I don't know what to do. Like, of course, having money like gives you more choices, and it does reduce your stress because it doesn't lock you into things for so long, because you're like, okay, I do have, you know, like a backup option and those sort of things. And I know that it takes a lot to like I said, this is so privileged and seeing it as that and getting there, but I think it kind of stops the weight of it as feeling like it's everything. And when you start seeing it as like, this is something that will, it's a means to the end. It's not the end. Is that what that quote is? Yeah. Number 12, another money, kind of thing is having money isn't a personality trait and it doesn't make you cooler or happier, and buying expensive shit doesn't make you happier. I've done this a lot. I've bought the bags. Do I love them? Do I use them all the time? Heck yes. But does it boost my like genuine happiness? No, it doesn't. I'm going to be honest. Like, I think a lot of people think that like, oh, if I just had money, I'd be happier. You might be able to get out of a crappy situation, like I said, and use it more of like a tool, but buying yourself a car, a bag, like, I don't think that that's going to boost your genuine like happiness levels, you know? I mean, I see, you know, the people like the Kardashians or whatever, and I'm like, gosh, like look at their houses and their cars, and like, how could you not just be happy? But everybody has their shit. Everybody has their stuff. So I don't know. And I've just met so many people this past year, not so many, but I've met people this past year that think like having money is a personality trait, and it's not. It's really not. So it doesn't make you cooler. Yeah. So I just feel like overall, I've just learned a lot of like money lessons and what I used to think when I was younger and my vision of like the life of the rich and famous or whatever, like all of that has, that illusion is so shattered and like so changed. And I'm kind of happy in a way that I got to that point now where I'm like, just buying stuff doesn't like make your life any better. It doesn't. Like oftentimes I'm like, I see myself as a city person truly through and through, but when I'm like in my middle ages of life, like when I'm like 50 or whatever, I kind of want to move to like the middle of nowhere and live in just like a property with like a lot of land and just like live a simple life in terms of that, like off the grid living. I don't know. That was random, but it's just, this year has really made me thought about like what's really important to me. It's time for some straight talk. Let's face it, tax returns could look a little different for a lot of people this year, but you're still going to get a lot of noise in your ear about how you should spend it. So when the big carriers start trying to get you to splurge in the latest nonsense, just tune it out and rock out with only the best deals. Spend it on what makes you happy. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199, so you can listen to your favorite music wherever you go. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Come on, start the year on a high note. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Okay, number 13. If they wanted to, they would. It hurts to hear, but everybody has I would say most people have a phone. Most people have access to a phone or a computer at least. If they wanted to reach out, they would. I feel like we always sit here and we make excuses for people. We'll be like, oh, you know, they had a really busy week, or you know, they're going through a lot right now. And yeah, some people are going through a lot right now. But if they wanted to see you, or if they wanted to date you, friendships, relationships, if they wanted to, they freaking would. So that's why, like, I don't want to be around people that are like, when people are pulling back and pulling away from me, I don't want to be around you either. I want to be around someone that's 100% in it just as much as I am. So I always remind myself that if they wanted to, they would. And if they're not, then unfortunately they don't want to, and it's a harsh reality to face, but at least cut your losses now and don't like hang around and like wait it out and see if things will change. 'Cause like, why would you do that to yourself? It's not, you're worth so much more than that. Number 14, deal breakers. Let's talk about deal breakers. They're so important and so valid. And I think it's okay to have a list. I went through, well, it's not even like deal breakers per se, but I just have a list of my ideal person. And for the longest time, I was told by people like, LOL, Brooke, like you're going to meet someone you least expect it. They're not going to like have the qualities on this list or whatever. And it's not that crazy of a list. Like it's really, you know, the way that they make me feel. There's a few physical things on their shore, but those probably are the ones that like I could do without. But I think it's important to have deal breakers. Like for me, like political affiliation, like, is a deal breaker. Like I don't think I could date someone that sees differently than me just because I know the type of arguments that it leads to, and I can't do that, you know? So I think it's totally okay to have a list. I think they're important and they're valid, and I'm glad that I learned this now because now I see like dating and stuff like that in a totally different light. And you're not crazy by knowing what you want. Like by going into something and being like, "Hey, you're not what I'm looking for," or like I'm looking for something different. It's not too picky. I've heard for the longest time for my whole life, like you can't be too picky. You can't be too picky. It's like, why not? Like I'd rather be picky than settle. So yes, on that note, number 15, I'm amazing, but I'm not for everybody. Not everyone's going to like you, but at the same time, you don't like everyone. The amount of people who I meet that I'm like, yeah, like that will be a one and done. Like, all right, I don't really like them that much. I'm sure there's been the same amount, if not more, of people who have met me and been like, yeah, like she's not for me. It doesn't mean that you're not amazing and that you're not a catch and you're not wonderful, but you're just not for everybody. But no one is. This is friendships. This is relationships. This is business life. This is work life. This is, it could be applied in everything. I think about the amount of like, it's not even like type of friendship type dates, but people that I've met that I've only hung out with them once or twice. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like they're not going to be like my best friend, but like they'll be my friend, whatever. And that's just because you're not going to be everyone's best friend. You're not going to be everyone's perfect partner. Not everyone's going to like you. And that's beyond okay. I would rather be like, well, an exquisite taste, you know, like a specific sort of taste or niche taste that not everybody likes, but the people who like it really like it because I am amazing, but I'm not for everybody. And that's okay. I think about this. This is also in terms of like content wise, like when people are watching or listening to the podcast, and they're like, oh, like maybe they're not into it. It's not their thing. And I get so hurt and offended by comments like that. I'm amazing, but I'm not for everybody. And if you don't like it, move on. Like it's your loss. No, but seriously, it's all good. You'll find somebody else that you like listening to their podcast or somebody else that you like watching their YouTube content or whatever, consuming their social media content. Number 16, this is a random dating one that I've thought of. One date is enough. If there's no connection, don't waste your time. The theme of this is just time is precious. So I've done the thing one time, this one guy I went on, and this was in my 23rd year of life. I went on 3 dates with him. I kind of knew on the first date, like I wasn't really physically attracted to him. The conversation was just decent. But on paper, this guy was like amazing. Like he had such a good job and he was just like very like stable and smart and like all this stuff. And I was like, no, like I have to give it another shot. So then we went on a second date. And I was like, no, I have to give it another shot. There was no connection. And then whatever, like, so I feel like just don't waste your time. Like if you're not into it, I feel like that's enough of an indication. It kind of goes back to trusting your gut. But I think this is kind of similar to like, I guess, making excuses for people. And I've seen contradicting opinions to this one. Like everyone's nervous on a first date. Like you have to give them a second date. Like I personally feel like if you're not into it, it's not worth it. At least from what I've just uncovered, because I've never had this disproven, I guess. Like I've done that where I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go on a second date with them and nothing changes. Like it's not like, oh, all of a sudden I'm in love with you. But I guess for some people it is different. All right, number 17. This is random, but I love reading. This is just something that I learned in my life. I think it's so easy to get stuck in your own life, and especially with this year and the pandemic and stuff like that. Fiction transports you to another one. Nonfiction, you enrich and you learn so much that you can apply to your own life and grow. I used to love reading when I was in middle school, high school. I read, you know, like all of those typical like teen dystopian novels. And then when I was younger, I read Junie B. Jones and like the Click books. Oh my gosh. I read every single Click book. Those were like my whole life and world. Arguably why I am the way. No, I'm kidding. They were so bitchy. Holy crap. But reading is just like such a passion of mine. I think for this year, I was kind of stressed out about not sort of having a passion. And I'm so thankful that I picked up reading again, because I definitely qualify that as something that I like to do on the side that isn't just work and like fun related. It's kind of like something else, even though I do consider it fun. But I think it's important to have like another area of your life that isn't just necessarily like work or social, I guess I will say. Because I used to consider, when people would ask my hobbies, I'd be like, I like to like hang out with my friends. But no, like reading's a good one. I just think it's cool to have something else at least. I was looking for that for the longest time, and I'm so thankful that I rediscovered that in reading. I stopped in college, which I think a lot of people do just because of the lack of free time. Or when I was reading, you know, textbooks and for college classes. But then I finally was able to, once I graduated, and quit my job, honestly, because I could not do it while I had a job. I was stuck in kind of that non-reading phase. So I'm glad that I'm here again. Yay. Okay. Number 18, it's normal to outgrow friendships. There doesn't need to be like some big friendship breakup. It's so normal to grow apart from people, especially at this time when you're distanced. The quote that I always go back to is like, some friendships are for reason, season, or life. I think that's what it is. And some really are only for a season, whether that's like where you lived, a period of your life, or like where you went to school. Because I have many friends that like I was friends with when I lived in Boston, or I was friends with when I was at school, and they haven't continued into like the next phase of my life. And I'm not going to beat myself up about it. And it doesn't mean that like there was some like crazy blow up and like now we're not friends anymore. It's just like, no, we kind of like grew in two different directions. And, you know, we're still connected on social media, or maybe we're not. But if we want to sync back up again in life, like, you know, maybe 5-10 years from now, or maybe less than that, or whatever, like maybe we will. So I feel like it's so beyond normal. And I used to think that things needed to end, like it needed a definite answer. Like, we're either friends or we're not friends. You don't need to end in a breakup, like a friendship breakup, I guess. Like, it's normal to grow apart. And it's normal to have periods of time where you're closer to some friends and then you're like less close. So it's all good. Number 19, I learned to admit my flaws and what I'm not good at. It's always been so admirable when someone's real and vulnerable versus the people that are like, everything's always amazing. Like super like impersonal, kind of those like staged, what do we want to call them? Almost like PR prepped answers to everything. When you ask them a question and they're like, yeah, everything's great. Like, everything's amazing, whatever. It's like, come on, like, give me some real juice. And I think I've always been like a real person in that stuff, but being able to admit to my flaws is a really big one. And it definitely takes a lot to get to that point. I'm still not perfect on it, but also what I'm not good at, being able to ask for help, being able to be like, hey, you know, I'm not great at these sort of things. And you might seem like you're talking down on yourself, I guess, but I think it's different than that. It's kind of just like self-awareness. Number 20, your parents are probably right, even if you don't want to hear it. Growing up, I used to hate this when my parents would tell me like, you're really like, you're going to be friends with that person. Like, I feel like they're bad news or whatever. They always ended up being bad news. Like, I don't know. Do your parents have like a sixth sense? Because they were always right. And now even in my adult life, when they give me advice on things, I'll be like, shut up. Like, I don't want to hear it. For some reason, like, parental advice sometimes, like, maybe it's because they feel like they could really give it to you versus like a stranger or something like that. It just hits diff. Like, but it's accurate. So definitely listen. If you are so lucky to, I'm so lucky to have the relationship I do with my parents that I really do value their opinion, even though sometimes I'll be like, gosh, I don't want to hear it.
All this month on Pluto TV, women take the lead in celebration of Women's History Month. Drop in for the best of female talent in film, TV, documentaries, comedy, and more, with big movies like Charlie's Angels, Last Holiday, and Pretty in Pink. Plus, shows like Inside Amy Schumer, Moesha, and Sister Sister. There's something for everyone.
7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.
Okay, number 21. I learned how much an environment impacts me. I think your environment impacts everyone. But just in terms of like your lifestyle, of course, in this year of my life, I moved from Boston to New York. In Boston, I was just a miserable human. And now in life, I'm so happy overall. And this is like overall speaking, because of course, like I was, quote, I was miserable, but I had some really good days in there. And now I'm, quote, so happy. But of course, I have bad days in there. Like I'm not a perfect person. But I think you just have to realize how much your environment affects you. And that's beyond just like your four walls of like your apartment or your home or whatever. But like the city you're in and like the people you surround yourself with and all of that really does impact you so much. I give myself credit for just being able to in the past like pack up and just move to new cities, because that's what I did for when I moved to college, and that's what I did when I moved to Boston. Is I didn't really know anyone. I just kind of packed my bags and like moved there. It's like really ballsy. Like it's really a lot, because it is so comforting to have like the security blanket of being around people that you might already know or you already have some ties to. So yeah, I just learned how much an environment impacts me. And it shows like once you're out of something to be like, holy crap, like I was unhappy in that city or whatever. Or now I look back on my old like vlogs or like content from Boston. I'm like, I don't like the way that I spoke about myself, my life. Like everything just seems so bleak and terrible. And now I've really had like a whole transformation, I guess, in a good way. And I think everyone's environment impacts them. I know I was so lucky to be able to like make such a dramatic change, but sometimes it takes making a dramatic change and taking your life into your own hands. Number 22, trust needs to be earned. Holy crap. Oh my gosh. Not everybody qualifies. I used to be out here CEO of oversharing, and I still do on social media sometimes. Okay. But not really. I mean, like there's some like, I don't even want to call them secrets, but like, you know, like my deeper things that I keep in that like probably my parents know, or like maybe like one, like Mariah or Danielle or like one of my best friends know. But I used to just be so willy-nilly with this and throwing it all around, like with the people that I just met, like telling them stuff that like I probably shouldn't have. And I've been burned a few times. So I think you need to, at least I've learned this, that people in my life need to earn trust. It's something that we can build to. It's not something that just right off the bat, oh, we started hanging out, like now I trust you. Like, no, it's something that over time you get there, over shared experiences, over like bonding. And you could slowly get there. It doesn't need to be like, hey, by the way, like here's my deepest, darkest secret, like some big reveal. It's like, no, I just think it takes time. And I'm a very impulsive person too. Like I want to get there quick. I'm like, oh, I have a new friend. I want to like get to that level of trust with them. Some things don't happen that quickly, unfortunately. Number 23, don't take criticism from someone who you wouldn't seek advice from. Ding, ding, ding. Like this is it for the year. Like, and it's okay. And criticism is valid. I mean, am I going to sit here and say I like it? Heck no. I've never liked it. It's damaging to my fire sign energy. My Leo rising and moon get very hurt when someone criticizes me. I take it really personally. But I have also learned not to take it from someone who I wouldn't personally go out of my way to get advice from them. If it's someone who's in like a really great position, like that I look up to in like the business world, or my parents or other family members, I'm welcome to it. Like if it's someone that I could generally be like, I care about their opinion, like I look up to them and like that means so much to me, yes. But am I gonna let some random like troll follower who like literally made a fake account just to harass me impact my day? No. Like no, because it says a lot more about them than it does about you. So I feel like I've learned to kind of revise that. And it definitely gets tough in terms of when putting your life out there and like on the internet and stuff like that. sometimes I get confused on what's an original thought versus what I've just created about myself versus from like a narrative in the comments or something like that. So in an effort to still maintain my original thoughts and feelings, I have really taken this to heart. And you can apply that also in any form. Like, it doesn't need to just be like if you're putting yourself online. Don't take criticism from someone who you wouldn't seek advice from. And number 24 is your feelings are valid. There may be people, there definitely are people who have it worse than you, but that does not diminish your struggle. We all have good days and bad. I feel your feelings. Gosh, like I think it's so okay, rather than being like, get over it, put on a mask, whatever. Like, no. I'm here for talking about it. I'm here for having a day or two that I'm like really going through it. I'm here for even being over dramatic and, you know, people being like, you're really handling this in a way that I don't think you should be. It's like, okay, well, it's my life, not yours, you know? So no one can tell you how you should handle something or how you should feel about something, because you're entitled to your own thoughts and your own feelings about something. And your feelings are always valid. You don't need to go and like complain to everybody in your life for days on end, because I'm sure then they like want to stop hearing it, you know? But I hate that idea of like, gosh, you can't complain. Like, there's people who have it worse than you. Like, there's always someone who has it worse than me. It doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to feel bummed out about this thing. Totally. You're allowed to. So your feelings are valid. Wow. I can't believe those 24 things, you guys. 24 things I learned before I turned 24, really across the board, all over the place. And I feel like there's so much more that, I mean, gosh, life lessons. We could really deep dive into that topic. And it's so interesting when we start comparing like life lessons that like we were taught from like our parents versus what we've gathered on our own. But that's some relevant things that I've learned that I've been applying to my life more recently. I'm 24, guys. It's my birthday, or it was last week. The birthday month is almost over. Aries season is officially over by the time we're listening to this. So we are in Taurus season, which I can't lie, I don't really know too many Tauruses. I know my best friend from home, Danielle, another Danielle, is a Taurus. I don't really know too much about them, because I know like Aries, we got like the big fiery energy, but I think Taurus is a little more relaxed. I think they're an earth sign, right? Let me look that up. Yeah, they are an earth sign. So I'm going to wrap up the episode here. I hope you guys enjoyed. Next week, we'll be back with Danielle. And actually, we have a fun episode next week. So I think you guys will be looking forward to that one. In the meanwhile, if you aren't caught up on the rest of the pod, be sure to listen to last week with Dr. P, the week before, our fun tipsy episode. And thank you guys so much. I'm recording this, like I said, before my birthday, but I know you guys always kill it with the birthday love, and I always feel so incredibly validated and fulfilled on my birthday, just from everybody everywhere. And I genuinely, it means so much. Your positive messages and feedback has really just gotten me through some of these past few months, and I really appreciate all of you so, so much. So thank you all. I love you, and we will talk to you guys next week with another episode of Gals on the Go. Be sure to subscribe to the show. Follow us on Instagram at GOTGpod. And I'm at Brooke Michio for more. Love you guys. Bye.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells. amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.